Okay, good morning everybody, welcome to you, it's great to have you with us. So wherever you are, if this is your first time with us, it's always great to have new people join us, so great to have you. If you're a regular with us here at Emmanuel, it's great to have you too. So whether you're listening on the phone, whether you're live or watching in the video even later, it's great to have you here. So, and what's really good is that God's here too. Okay, so let's acknowledge that as we give our time to God. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity, whether it be via technology or live. Lord, it doesn't matter. The fact is that where you and your people are gathering together, Lord, you are there present. You speak. You're a God who longs for our worship, whether we're on our own or whether we're in a crowd. It doesn't matter. Lord, I pray that you would draw that worship and that appreciation, that thanksgiving from our hearts this morning. And that, Lord, we would give you the praise. We would give you the glory, which is due to your name. So, Lord, we offer ourselves. And in this hour or so, Lord, speak to us, stir us, and change us. Because, Lord, it means we've met with you. Lord, we love you. And we bless you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You have to be a bit louder than that. It's really great. We've got another team of people with us. We've got Adam and Janie and Clive. So we're going to lead a part of the worship now. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. That chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of this brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, so I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
It's great to worship the Lord, eh?
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong, mighty sound. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it loud, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Lovely. I'm glad we can be all together like this and be able to play. It's brilliant. Thank you, team. Just a few things to let you know about, if I could. A few announcements. We have more worship on Wednesday. It's brilliant. And that's from 7 to 8 here on Facebook, on this page. So you can engage with that and give God that little bit more opportunity to praise and worship. Now, next Sunday, I wonder if you've worked this out yet. Because some crazy people have started to put their Christmas trees up. I won't say anything about that. But next Sunday is Advent Sunday. And it's marking the beginning of Advent, of course. Not only are we going to have a new series looking at Advent over the next few weeks up towards Christmas, but we'll be doing a virtual Advent crown. I know you're excited. But I thought it would be really good if you wanted to join in. You can make your own at home. Now, if you've never made an Advent crown, then there is an opportunity. You can go onto YouTube and you can look up Blue Peter. And they will tell you, many years ago, completely oblivious to any safety precautions whatsoever, how to make an Advent crown out of a couple of coat hangers. And they have real candles and everything. Honestly, kids, you've got to make sure your parents are overseeing it. But why not make your own Advent crown? You need 5 candles. But you'll see next week how we're going to do it here. But you've got a head start now. So get it all together this week. And, of course, there's been some information. It's here even on the Facebook page as well. We've got the King's Chamber Orchestra who are coming virtually to do a concert for us on the 5th of December at 7:30. And if you want to be a part of that, you want to see that and follow it online, if you click the link in the post, which is at the top of the all the posts on our Facebook page, you can then follow the links through to their website. You can make a donation. Doesn't have to be very much, but make a donation. And then they will ask for your email address. And then after you get your email address, they will then send you a link to be able to go live on the day. Now, if you can't make the 5th, that's fine. That link stays live for several weeks, way past Christmas, I think. But if you've never seen the King's Chamber Orchestra, I really want to encourage you. They are brilliant. They're not just professional musicians, but they give on a fabulous show at the same time. So I do encourage you, tune in for that. And then, of course, finally, just after our service today, we've got our coffee time by Zoom, and also the opportunity, if you'd like, for a bit of prayer with someone else. So if you want the code, the Zoom link for that, just leave it in the comments box, and we'll make sure that you get that Zoom link. Okay, we've been without him for the last few weeks, but I tell you, he's back. He's here in two places at the moment. So I'm going to hand over to Rich. He's going to do our spot for our younger folk. Bless you.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Richard. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And as you can see, Christmas has come early to the Doxy household. There's just 33 days to go to try and decipher what your wife or husband really want for Christmas. And boys and girls, just 33 days until we get to open up some of these. Now, my lovely wife and children are out on a walk, and I thought I'd sneak down to the Christmas tree, and there's one present here, and I'm going to see what it is, which is a bit naughty, but I think I can get away with it. Here we go. I've got some lovely beautiful wrapping paper on it. Be careful not to rip it. I've got a box. It looks like an Amazon box. It must be something good. Oh, there's nothing in it. It's empty. What a disappointment. Oh, could you imagine waking up on Christmas Day and having nothing to open? How rubbish would that be? But actually, children, for some boys and girls around the world, that's exactly what happens. Some children don't live with their families, or some children don't have very much, and some children don't know about Christmas. But there's a way that you, me, and EBC can help with that. It's called Operation Christmas Child, and it's run by Samaritan's Purse. And normally at this time of year, Emmanuel Baptist Church is full of people who are knitting lovely gloves and scarves, hats to keep people warm, who are packing toys and presents and gifts and sweeties into shoeboxes, which get taken all around the world so that children just like you can open up a Christmas present just for them. For some children, it might be the only gift or toy they've ever been given. Can you imagine that? Now, this year, we can't do that because of the coronavirus. We can't all get into Emmanuel Baptist Church. We can't all be packing shoeboxes together. But our friends at Samaritan's Purse have very kindly set up a website where actually you can fill a shoebox. And for every shoebox that's made, someone will, in real life, pack a shoebox with the toys, gifts and presents you choose so that someone can have a very exciting Christmas. Not just opening a present, but they'll also have the opportunity to find out what Christmas is really about. Let's do one together. So I've gone to the Shoebox Online Samaritan's Purse link, and I'm going to choose to pack my shoebox. And I get a choice whether I want to do it for a boy or a girl, and how old they are. So I'm going to pick to do a present for a girl who's 10 to 14. Okay, and the first thing you get is an essentials pack full of just special good things like a toothbrush. Could you imagine not having a toothbrush? A comb and some lovely stationery and things like that. So we're going to add that into it. And then you get to choose the large toys. Okay, and there's all sorts of different options here. Okay, and you can pick two. So I'm going to go for a football with a pump, very handy. And a wind-up torch, because then you don't need batteries. And in some places where they don't have street lights, a torch is very handy. Then you get to pick some small toys. Okay, you get two of these options. So I'm going to pick that and a musical instrument because I love music. And then some accessories. Three things. And these are all really useful items that you or I would probably really like to have. Now, two of these are school things. In some countries, you have to pay to go to school. And you have to buy all of your own equipment. Can you imagine that? So I think I'm going to give this little girl some things to help her with her education. And something in case it gets cold. How does that sound? Okay, very good. We'll go through here. Now here we can write a note. So we're going to say, Happy Christmas. Lots of love. Richard in the UK. You can even take a photo to show this person what you look like, or pick one. So let's pick a photo here. Here's one of me and my family, so we'll pick that one there. Bear with. This is a way that as Christians we can make a real difference to someone just like you at this time of year. But it's also a way that Samaritan's Purse, as well as giving out the gifts, and they give all the children a gift, they also give them the opportunity to find out more about Jesus. And that's through a special gift that they offer the children, which tells them what Christmas is really about. That God made them, that he loves them, that he wants to know us, but that the sin and the wrong choices we make, they push God away. But Jesus came into this world at Christmas time. He lived a perfect, blameless life, and he went to the cross at Easter, so that anyone who wants to follow Jesus can be saved and know him forever. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? So have a chat with your folks or your family about whether that's something that you'd like to do. And I'm going to hand over to Adam, who's going to sing a fantastic song with us. Over to you, Adam.
Thank you, Richard.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, but nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Hey, did that bit catch you out? He went all boogie. This is Mr. Garnish all over, isn't it? Anyway, brilliant. Okay, we've got a very intrepid cameraman here at Emmanuel. I don't know whether you know that, Doug Clutterbuck. And he's been out and about, and he's caught people we know and love very much here at Emmanuel, Pete and Chris. And he's managed to weave in a very seasonal flavour. You saw Rich with his Christmas tree and jumper. Hey, this is what Pete and Chris are about.
Well, normally Christmas would be really exciting and we'd be wrapping up presents and thinking about decorations and who was coming and what we were going to eat. Because this year it's very different and we probably won't have any family here, so it might just be me and Pete here on our own eating our Christmas dinner. But that's all right. We just hope we can catch up with the family at another time. But it means that we've got to post their parcels instead of being able to hand them to them, which is very sad. Finding that sad. I just want to give them all a big hug.
I just want to get it over with. And I do enjoy it when it's here. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's good.
But Chris is definitely the most excited one of the two of us. Being at the age we are, we've got everything we need. So when people ask me what I want for Christmas, I have to really think. And it's usually something quite bizarre because we're back to pants and socks. But, you know, clothes we don't need, material things we don't need. So it's difficult. But I do enjoy getting a present, but it's always a bit random usually for my kids.
The kids will send us presents and it will be exciting to open them,
yeah.
But not the same.
Yeah, well, we did have plans for next year, mm-hmm. but they've all been a bit changed. But we were due to go to Rhodes in September, this just gone, which was obviously cancelled by mutual agreement with the travel company and us. And we were due to go to India in February, which we've been looking forward to for a long time, but that's been cancelled by the tour company. But we have moved tentatively our Rhodes holiday till next September, and we also are due to go to a wedding in Italy in October with my goddaughter. Whether that happen or not, or whether either will happen or not,
we don't know,
but that's our current plans. But I suspect that they might change.
Just to visit the family would be really good.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, mate. I mean, next year, it must change next year. It must be. Because it's just so difficult when they live so long, so far away, you know. And I've also got an aunt in a care home in Westbourne, which hopefully we'll be able to have her at Christmas. But she's been locked down since the end of February and she's 98. And she's desperately suffering with everything because of all of this, you know. So it's not quite the same standing under her window speaking to her on the phone, you know, as being able to give her a hug. And so it's quite sad. But if we can, we'll bring her here for Christmas.
I think the best message would be that we hope and pray that we will be able to get together, give each other a big hug, and just get back to some sort of normality. I mean, there's so many people in church that are actually missing the physical contact and even the presence of other people.
I know that people miss the fellowship and being able to hug people. I get that every week when I ring people. They're just saying to me, we just want to be back at church and be able to have normal fellowship and give people a hug, you know, and you just keep hearing it, don't you? So it'd be lovely to be together again. And for Christmas, that would be fantastic. I'm not holding my breath for that.
This is our one and only Christmas decoration at the moment. And had it not been for Dougie asking us if we've got any decorations, this just happened to arrive yesterday. So it's a handmade glass nativity set made by a friend of our daughter's in Manchester. So we just got this yesterday and we thought we wouldn't box it up and put it back, we'll leave it out.
Very, very Christmassy. You know, sometimes the last lap is always the hardest. When you're running a race, the last lap is the hardest. And I think this Christmas is going to be hard. Last Christmas we were together. Who knows what's going to happen this Christmas? But God doesn't change. We're going to use a couple of songs from Graham Kendrick from a long time ago. Let's just come before Him.
Oh, let the Son of God enthrone you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Jesus, oh Jesus,
Great, isn't it, to know that God is in control? But you know, it's all about timing, actually. How about this? Doesn't he look great? It's about timing and it's about position. He was obviously in the right place or the wrong place at the wrong time. So now we have a squirrel with horns. How does that? How about this one? Yes! Did that photographer just wait there until that little baby elephant was in the air? Looking like Dumbo, fantastic. But it is, so much of life actually is dependent on timing and position. And when and where. Have you ever missed a train? Or even a flight? You know, which then had that knock-on effect for yourself and of course for others. Perhaps you've missed a really important appointment. And you just dread it because you had the wrong time or the wrong date in your diary. It could be a job interview. It could have been something equally important. Could be even a doctor's appointment or something, which again went on to cause all sorts of issues and hassle for you and for someone else, perhaps. Have you ever, you think, I just need to pop out to the shops, and you arrive to the shop and it's too late. They've shut. And you're thinking, oh no. Frustrating. Or what about if you're a bit late for a wedding? Look at this bloke. Talk about mincing all the way to a wedding. Fantastic. But have you been late for a family gathering, perhaps? And it's just been really frustrating. You cause stress to all sorts of people. It's even more important when you've got a key role to play in that gathering. Or perhaps you've seen or you've been in situations where timing was absolutely crucial. Where moving saved a disaster. Look at this. This was just this week. Poor bloke. Look at that. Can you believe that? Oh my word. Ruined his car. And it was more than a snowfall. That was just terrible. But how important it was that he moved. The timing was crucial. But you know, whatever the situation we're in, you're facing, the most important thing, or whatever phase of life that's ahead of us, it's about committing our way to God. And it's about trusting Him. It's about trusting His timing. Because if we do, I believe it can release and enable the most amazing God coincidences, which can help all sorts of things happen. I actually call them God incidences. God incidences. Because if God wasn't involved, then these things probably wouldn't have happened. Because if we trust God, we need to realize that we'll not miss out on anything if God is sovereign of our time. If God is right in the heart of all our whole lives, it will all work out. But you see, we don't always understand, do we, why certain things happen in life. I'm sure we can all relate to things. And we think, why did that happen? Why did it go the way it did? Why did these things happen to me? And sometimes it's clearly our fault. You know, we've taken a step out of what we should have done, and bad planning or human error. But at other times, it's due to something which is completely outside of our control. It's just the nature of life in some ways. And I don't want to get into some deep theological and philosophical debate about sort of foreknowledge and all that sort of thing. Not about it here anyway. Great debate to have, mind you. But because there are lots of factors. But one thing's very clear, very evident for me, is that God's people, those who trust him, have in all these situations, whatever it is we might face, have something which those who don't trust him have. And that's the security and that deep down assurance that God is in control. That he and his timing is perfect. So that no matter what the circumstances we may be facing, we know and trust deep down, deep, deep down within us, even though we may wobble on the surface, that ultimately God knows all about it and he has it all sorted. Something deeply reassuring about that. I mean, let's take this year for instance. What's it all been about, this whole virus thing? It's affected everybody. Everything's been hit. Every life almost on the planet has been changed because of this thing. Even our Christmas plans are going to be different this year. Now, we can ask the questions, but I don't know whether we'll know the answer of the whys or the wherefores. And we might not know it for ages. We could probably hazard a few guesses, probably. But ultimately, we have to trust that God, because he is God, has his reasons. He has his reasons why it's gone the way it's happened and it's gone the way it has. He has a bigger plan in process. In fact, we may never know the answer. Perhaps until we meet him face to face in eternity. But I tell you, I think by the time we've got there, it won't matter anyway, will it? But this is why I believe we need to grasp and, I believe, build our lives on the foundational principle in all of this. And it's very simple, but it's so, so profound. God loves us. God loves us. Now, yeah, it might sound a bit naive, but it's true. He loves us. He loves us so much that, as we've heard already, through Rich mentioned it, that he sent his only son. He's given his only son to bring us his life, to bring us the spirit, his life into our lives with all its blessings. And you know, in addition to that, his love brings with it the unfolding plans of his will and his purposes into our lives. He wants the best for us. He's designed us to function in a particular way. And he has a plan. He's laid it all out. And he says, if you do this, you will be blessed. You will receive things. And so the whys and the whens and the how questions about now and what's happening to us, we can actually entrust into God's overarching sovereignty. And in the confident knowledge that he's still the boss of everything. Of everything. Nothing misses his attention. And I suppose some of us might not grasp that, but I wonder, it's got something to do with how big and powerful and almighty we see our God. Remember our verse for the year? I hope you do. It's probably on your fridge at home, which I think summarizes these truths. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's called us to pray this prayer. This is part of the Lord's Prayer, of course, because we need his rule and his realm here on earth as it is in heaven. Because ours clearly doesn't work. We try it in our own way, it will not work. Therefore, he knows, and we know he loves us, then we can trust that he'll work out all the things which we need to know for us. Our part is to trust and obey, as the old hymn says, to follow in faith. Now, we may not see and we may not understand why or how or when these things happen, but we trust anyway. We trust him anyway. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by believing, by faith, as it says. Not by sight or seeing. His plans, God's plans, are much more superior than ours. We won't know all the ins and outs. We won't know all the details. But God does know. And in Isaiah 55, it actually says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I'm sure for many of you are now starting to think, Mark, this is pretty familiar stuff to me. We've been believing this and trusting in this for years. And we know it all. But you know, it hit me afresh this week when I read this story of the people of Israel back in Numbers chapter 9. Now, it may be because our current slowness about moving house and our situation, that might be why it was very forefront in my mind. But I sense God wanted me to share it again with you guys. You know, it would have been incredible, wouldn't it? An incredible experience of seeing a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Not only hovering over the portable temple, the tabernacle, as it was called, but then it would lift and then move. It would be a guide too. And as it lifted and moved, it determined when they should break camp, when they were in the desert, and where they should, it would then drop and settle where they would set up their camp. And it would also lead them onto the next place. It was the time to move on. Let me read you just a section, if I could, from chapter 9, but verses 15 to 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites set up camp. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they set up camp. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle for only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would set up camp. And then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year,
the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the Lord's command, they set up camp, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. I think you get the message. They lifted, they moved, stayed put. And it began, as I began earlier, it's all about timing. It's all about his position. Not our timing, but God's timing. Not our position, but his position. It's all about his move and his call. Which for us, in our driven, instant, push-button Western world, is a really hard concept to grasp and to accept. But if he truly is the Lord and the Master and the Sovereign of our lives, then his timing, God's timing, his position, his decision to move or to stay is ours, is it not? And it means that it's got to come down to some basic factors here. It's about accepting that God truly is sovereign. And his timing is sovereign and perfect. It's about having patience and looking to him, trusting in his absolute will and his broader plan. Despite the inconvenience, of course, that this may cause to our plans, our timings, and that which the world is saying to us, such as moving house. You know, it's about dealing with our own priorities and our timings against God's priorities and his timings. And it's seeing our short-term plans against his longer-term plans. It's against God's priorities and timings. Short-term plans. And our immediate view against his bigger panoramic view, his picture. And of course, it's that tension between our meager, sinful, limited human outlook against his holy, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal kingdom perspective. Now, he is concerned, and he proves it, about all the smaller details in our lives. Of course he does. And I believe he will lead us through all those as well. But it's not about us. And this is the crux of it. It's all about him. And sometimes we get our priorities the wrong way around. You've heard me say this before. It's about him and his, not me and mine. And you know, we need to keep reminding ourselves of this truth time and time again. So, inasmuch as we link to that passage, we don't move until God says so. We don't move until God says so. But when God does say so, we move. We need to do what God wants us to do. So it begs the question, who really is our master? Who really is our Lord? Who is mine? Of course, we don't need the pillar of cloud and the fire like the Israelites had, as cool as that would be, hovering over Hurston. Fantastic. Because that cloud and that fire of God's mighty presence, because of what Jesus has done and by the Holy Spirit, is now within us. Isn't that awesome? God is in us. But rather, I believe what we need to be praying, what we need to be doing, is praying and trusting more than we currently do. We need to trust him a lot more than we do. Well, I do anyway. Now, just a question for you. Does anyone of you play chess, I wonder? Or other strategy type games? You know, the sort of game that in order to win, you have to plan and think and even try to anticipate your opponent's next move. You know, you need to try and visualize the bigger picture that they are playing to. Otherwise, you won't win. As God's people, we don't need to do that. We don't need to try and out-strategize God. Or even try and beat him. Because firstly, we'll never win. But secondly, he's not our enemy. He's not an opponent. As we've said, he loves us. And that is the whole motivation for him. And everything he allows and lets happen to us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to rise above and to enter into his best plan and be in the best place he has got planned for us. For Israel, it was a new place to become a new nation, a land flowing with milk and honey. For us, it's a new life, a new being a new creation, a life in all its fullness, as Jesus said, with a purpose and a fulfillment, with the eternal presence of God within us. Now, if we read further on into the story of Israel, not far in fact, we see they began complaining and whining and moaning, wanting in fact to go back to Egypt, to a place of captivity, craving the old food and the old ways of being. They just could not grasp the bigger picture that God was painting with them and through them. What about us? When the Lord leads us and commands us to move further into his plans or his purposes in our lives, stirs us into something perhaps we're a bit edgy about, let's not complain or whinge and moan, but recognize it's coming from his heart of love for us. He's leading us. He's wanting the best and he's drawing the best into our lives. He longs to bless us. And I believe going his route in his timing will actually release those blessings. So let's be determined to enter that land and be in that best place. And we do it by living by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians 5. It's living with him, for him, and by him, a step at a time, every day, and each day at a time through his Holy Spirit. None of our moments are ours in that sense. But God wants to bless us, and we will, if he is the number one priority. So let's finish just by going back to Israel's story a little bit later on in chapter 10. There's a lovely but very inconspicuous verse where it actually says, one day Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, we are on our way to the place the Lord promised us. We are on our way. We are on a journey. Isn't that lovely? For he said, I will give it you. Come with us. Come with us. And we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised wonderful blessings for Israel. So the question is, that I think that's a verse for us, for you this morning. Will you come with us? Will you come with where the place where God has called you to come? Will you be there with us on this journey? God has promised, through Christ, wonderful blessings, incredible blessings for us as we enter his plan and we find this place which he's called us to go to. God has promised it. But in order that we might ensure that we get there, it must be on his say-so, by his rules and in his timing. It's his move, not ours. Will you follow it? Are you alert to it? Let's step into this adventure, shall we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful story
of the people of Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you had their best interests. You had your bigger plan. You knew exactly what you were doing. Lord, help us not to be like them, to whinge and moan just because it's not going our way, but to rest assured that you love us, that you want the best for us, that you've got so many heavens full of blessings you're wanting to pour out upon us. Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to be watching and listening, ready to take the steps forward which you've called us to take. But Lord, may we fulfill that calling upon our lives, and may we go when you call us to go and to be and do what you call us to be and do. Fill us afresh now, I pray, this day, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. And our final song, in fact, fits this beautifully because it speaks about being a child, following God, following Dad, and trusting in Dad. And as we do that, that takes away all the fear that we might have about how it's all going to work out and how it's all going to pan out. God knows. He's got all the resources. He's got everything we need. So let's sing this song as an opportunity of surrender. And that deep assurance that he loves us and he's got it all in his hands. No longer slaves. Bless you. I am a child. I believe we can really rest in those words, can't we? We can rest in the fact that we are a child of God, and every parent loves their child. And even though humanly, sometimes that fails, I tell you what, they are Heavenly Father. It never fails. His love is pure, it's perfect. And I believe he wants to welcome us in. If you're watching this morning and you're thinking, hey, I don't know that sort of security. I don't know what God's plan is for me. Trust him. You can step into that today. And I just want to lead you very quickly into a short prayer where we can give of ourselves over to God. So perhaps you just want to pray these words in your heart. So, Lord Jesus Christ, I don't yet know you, but I want to know you. I don't know you, Father God, but I want to be your child. Help me to know what that means. Help me to know, Lord God, what it is to trust you. To know that deep down plan which you have for my life. So I come with all my weaknesses and my failings, all the wrong things I've done. And I ask, O God, because of Jesus, that you would cleanse me, you would forgive me, and you would give me a new opportunity, a new chance to live for you. And that you would take that sin away, give me a different heart, fill me with your life, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come in and live inside of me, that I might live for you for the rest of my days, that I might trust you for the rest of my life, knowing that I am loved, deeply loved, and that you have the best plan for me. So God, I give myself to you afresh. Take me. Use me. And thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If there's still got questions which you'd like to ask, then do pop a note in the comments or send us an email via our website. You can just get in touch. And we'd love to help. We really would love to help. Well, no expense has been spared for our final grace this morning, because my lovely wife, Jen, is going to share the grace. So thank you for joining us, and perhaps join us again next week or one of the other activities which we've got online. Bless you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.